Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello. Welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest and bestest and onlyest Doom Patrol-related podcast.
G'day, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks. And if you want to send an email to this very thing we do, it's waitingfordoom@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook, and we've got many, many episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com. I guess we're waiting for Doom in a different way these days.
Yeah, still on a bit of a high from last week. Yes, hi, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarb. You can also find on Twitter our sentient show account, Wilfred, who's a charming, delightful fellow. And yeah, sorry, still on a high from last week's announcement. Anyway.
Yes, Doom Patrol coming in September. Anyway, this week on the show, this week on the show, we're going to look at the Doom Patrol issues from Volume 2. So not the new ones, old ones. Issues 13 and 14 from 1988.
Oh, that was a good year. I was 13.
Were you?
Yeah.
Gosh. I was older. Anyway, so that's what's coming up. But Michael, Mike, my friend, how was your week in comics?
It was pretty good. People who follow me on Twitter would know I've had issues with a serious to-read pile problem. So this past weekend, I buckled down and I tackled it. I started at 71 comics on Saturday morning, and over the course of the weekend and on Monday night, I got it down to 7 comics.
Do you tear them in half after you're done?
I swear to God, I felt like it was some of them. I had to take a break, and because I was getting to the stage where I was like, you know, I really don't feel like reading any more comics. So, but, you know, I've got 7 to go, and I'm going to get them done before this week's new comics come out and I get in that same situation again. So
it's always riding the line when your hobby becomes a chore, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of takes the fun out of some of it. So, but it made me realize there are some possible changes I want to make to my pull list as well. So that was interesting. And other geeky stuff, I've been tearing through the first season of an anime show called Inuyasha, which I'm falling in love with each and every episode I catch up on. It's basically about a teenage high school girl from present-day Japan, travels back to the feudal era, and assists a half-demon boy find the shards of a magical jewel.
And, Mike, you don't have to make stuff up to make yourself seem more interesting. It's cool.
But I really do. So it's, yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And I think I may have spoiled a future plot line for myself when I was looking up images of it online today. But anyway, it's a lot of good fun. So I'm really enjoying that. How's your week been in all things fun and geeky and such, Paul?
I've been getting my way through Daredevil Season 2.
Okay.
Could use more ninjas, that's my thought.
Right.
That'll make more sense when you watch it.
Right. Once I get through Season 1 as well.
a good version of the Punisher on the screen. Probably the best version of the Punisher so far. So,
wow.
Yeah. But, I'm enjoying that. Other than that, I've been kibitzing on... Is that what you say? Kibitzing? Anyway, something like that. On another podcast. So this week came out Secret Origins 33, which is Ryan Daly's podcast about the 1980s Secret Origins comic. And I guested on. Now, you know, as you know, I'm an expert on the Doom Patrols. So he invited me on to talk about Ice Maiden. Naturally.
Of course. Right.
Yes.
Now.
And, yes.
Ice, she was a member of one of the Justice Leagues in the 80s?
Yeah, the Giffen DeMatteis Maguire Justice League.
Right. Okay.
She appeared around issue 12.
Okay.
And became a beloved fan favorite character. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And the story that I covered with Ryan, it's a bit sexy. It's got lots of innuendo and things. It's quite, it's a little bit naughty.
Oh, no.
Yes. And bless him, Ryan had to record an extra bit because when I recorded it a little while back, there was no sign of a Doom Patrol comic. And so he had to record a little disclaimer to say that this was recorded before the Doom Patrol announcement came out because we had a little chat about the Doom Patrol.
Excellent.
Yeah. But that was fun. I very much enjoyed doing that. And I hope to come back one day.
Excellent. Well, we'll put some links up to that as well. And we might insert a word from Ryan in a promo about his show.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah, it's been a good week all around, I think.
Yeah. One of the best so far this month.
Yeah. Things are definitely looking up. You know.
The top two. Anyway, what's that ticking, Mike?
Hark, it can only be a doom clock.
You think?
Yeah, probably. I did some work on it over the weekend as well when I took a break from reading comics.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so the slightly under the weather doom clock, because it's still in a bit of shock from last week, is still showing us that the last issue so far of a Doom Patrol book was still issue 22 of volume 5, the Giffen Clark run. Cover date of July 2011 and going on sale May 4th of that same year. So it's been 4 years and 49 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. So almost at the 5 year mark.
Almost. Yeah, coming up.
Coming up. The last appearance of the team was about 8.5 months ago in two different comics, All-Star Section 8, number 3, with them in a huge double-page splash shot of all the Justice League heroes. And also in Justice League United, number 12, they had a one-panel appearance with Stargirl recruiting Robot Man to get him to join her on her next mission. But this week in Doom Patrol history, back in 1964, for the princely sum of 12 US cents, saw the release of issue 88 of Doom Patrol Volume 1 from Drake and Premiani. This issue was titled The Incredible Origin of the Chief, and it showed us the events that led to Chief becoming wheelchair-bound, as well as the start of his ongoing battle against General Immortus. And we discussed that issue way back in Episode 9, so you should check that one out for further details. And now, some exciting news about the Doom Patrol. Some other exciting news about the Doom Patrol.
Excite me, Mike. Excite me.
I'll try. Next week, April 18th, is actually the birthday of the Doom Patrol. That date, back in 1963, is when My Greatest Adventure issue 80 went on sale. So the Doom Patrol will be turning 53 years young next week.
How incredible. Awesome
is that? So we're thinking what we're going to do to celebrate is, if people online, especially on Twitter.
On Facebook,
wherever they feel like doing it. If they use a hashtag, Happy Birthday Doom Patrol, and just put up pictures of what they love about the patrol, whether it's a selfie with, you know, your favorite issue or whatever toys you might have of the patrol, like some lucky people might have those Heroclix figures, which I just remembered then. Some people might want to show off their collection of all the issues. Whatever, we're just really happy that the patrol have been around that long and it's their birthday, so we figure, why not celebrate it? So,
any Mento outfit you have, chuck it on. Send us a selfie.
I would love to see anyone dress up as Mento for the patrol's birthday. I'm putting the challenge down. I will give a bonus pony point to whoever takes a selfie in a Mento costume with helmet.
Right. Well, of course, it wouldn't be the Mento costume without the helmet.
That's right. Well,
you could do the 80s electric owl look Mento if you wanted.
Yeah, you could, but
you'd be a loser if you did, but you could.
And you wouldn't be a loser if you did the other one. Right. Okay. So yes, join us this weekend. Whenever you get a chance, just post something up with the hashtag Happy Birthday Doom Patrol, and we'll hopefully see a lot of patrol love online over the course of the weekend, just before the actual date of April 18th.
So, HBDP.
Yes, that too. So yeah, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
HHH. That's hip hip hooray, sorry.
Right.
Anyway, move on.
Please.
This week on Doom's Planning, we're looking at the great Kupperberg Larsen run of Doom Patrol, issues 13 and 14. So we're going to start with 13, which is Doom Patrol number 13, as I said. And it came out with a cover date of October 1988. But the actual real in-the-shop date is June 28th, 1988, unless you're in Australia, which comes out a few days later. So you might have got it June 30, or you might not have got it at the shop that day. You might leave it for a couple of weeks, you would have got it like July 12th or something. Unless that was a pub. No, it's not a public holiday. No, you'd probably, yeah, you could get around. And anyway, it cost $1 US.
Nice.
So it's probably about $1.75 in Australia because they gouge you. It was all written by Paul Kupperberg. The pencils were by Eric J. Larsen, as he was known back then, before he got all savage with his dragons, and inked by Al Gordon. Edited by Robert Greenberger, who's quite a distinguished editor. I like that guy. What else? It had letters. There were words in the pages, and they were done by John E. Workman Jr. Mm-hmm. Always does the Workman like letters. And the colorist was Michelle Wolfman, who I wonder if she's related to the Mummy. Anyway,
I thought you were going to say, was it Marv Wolfman?
I thought I'd just, you know, swerve to the left.
You gave us a bazinga, Paul. Well done.
Oh, gee, oh thanks, mate. And it had a cover by Eric J. Larsen with inks by Al Gordon again. So the team on the cover inside the book as well. And on the cover we see a Negative Woman, and she looks furious, to be fair.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah, she's wearing a fetching green and white horrible outfit. And she is being held back on one side by Cliff Steele and on the other side by Josh Clay. And they look like they are struggling to hold her back. And it says above the logo of the team, it says Negative Woman versus Negative Man Showdown. It says the Doom Patrol. And then it says plus Power Girl.
Bonus. God, action packed.
Yeah. And mine has the little where the barcode should be. It's got a picture of Power Girl smiling. Anyway, we open up the book and it's called Power and Chaos. And it starts with the wreckage of a plane smashed in the middle of a field. And it's surrounded by military vehicles and emergency services. And this was the plane that Larry stole in the last issue. So if you cast your mind back to the last time we talked about the Kupperberg run, Larry went up to stop Gargarax and he was in a plane and things exploded.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Yeah, and then we see that Larry is in an alley nearby, and he's looking like crap. We take a drink for that because he's lying down. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez, we're going to turn people into alcoholics on this show.
Yes, he staggers out of the alley, and he walks past a shop front, and his bandages have been ripped on his face, and he sees that his face is normal. Usually his face is sort of skeletal, see-through, and quite horrible, but he has a normal face. And he doesn't have the negative energy. He doesn't know what's going on. Over at the Doom Patrol headquarters, there's still protests outside, which was the norm for the series at this point.
Yes.
People with placards and signs saying, go away, freaks. Doom Patrol leave Kansas.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cliff is sporting a new body because he got dismantled last time by Gargarax's minions.
It's basically his brain in a box.
Yeah. So he's flexing his new body. And the rest of the team are sitting around talking. We see that Negative Woman has woken up from her coma, is in the kitchen having a cuppa with Arani. Arani is sort of wants the team to focus on finding Niles.
What? That's new.
I like it.
Yeah.
Joshua comes in and does the lovesick puppy stuff with Val. And yeah. He was so worried when she was sick. And we get some miscoloration of ours, so she has blue bandages for some reason here. Yeah. And, Josh is very caring. Val is shunning him. It's, it's a bit soapy. And we see outside that Rhea Jones, young Lodestone, she is sad because she has feelings for Joshua, but Joshua has feelings for Val, and Val has no feelings for Joshua.
Damn, you love triangle!
Yeah, so we see Lodestone having a little bit of a tear. Meanwhile, we're in New York Soho district, jumping across the country, and suddenly a building explodes and falls down, and we see that Karen Starr, who is Power Girl in her superhero identity, is sitting in her office and looks out. She hears the noise, looks out the window, just in time to see a car flipping past. Yes, so she pulls off her clothes, and she is Power Girl, and I'm saddened to see she doesn't have the boob window going. I am. I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's all good.
It's the look of Power Girl from her miniseries of the day, which was also written by Paul Kupperberg. So Paul Kupperberg connecting Paul Kupperberg stories to Paul Kupperberg stories. So well done. So she flies out of her building and sees some mad woman called Pythia.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you, how we were going to pronounce her name, because I've never seen this character before. I've never even heard of her until I read this storyline. And I'm not sure if it's Pythia or Pythia or Pythia. But
well, we could say it differently every time if you like.
Let's do that. That'll be fun.
So Pythia she's destroying stuff and throwing vehicles around. Anyway, she has like a black outfit with sort of white boots, and it's an interesting combo, and then some sort of pink cape that comes down under her butt as well. And it's all cinched up with a belt. Anyway, and she has flaming hair.
Yes.
She looks quite angry, not happy. Yeah, anyway, so she starts chucking stuff at Power Girl and fighting her and, really slamming her into the ground. And Power Girl kicks her in the gut, fighting away. Power Girl is taking the worst of it. Anyway, we cut back to the Doom Patrol headquarters, and the police have arrived, and they want to talk to the Doom Patrol about a certain Wayne Hawkins, also known as Karma, the young punk of the team, because they're really sure that the young punk hanging out with the Doom Patrol is the same one who is responsible for the death of a security guard at the local mall. Mm. Yeah, so Joshua is talking to them about this, and we see that in upstairs, Wayne is waking up in his room, and he's got some lurid band posters on the wall, etc., and he's wearing boxers. Yeah. And I like that his mohawk is all straggly because it's not neat up. Yeah. And he looks out and he sees the police car, because naturally the police cars, when they came to talk, they all left the sirens and lights going. So he can see that. So he hurriedly gets dressed and runs downstairs and, running past Scott, who, Scott's sad because he likes the team to be happy and all together, just like he is. Yeah. Yeah. Wayne is, exiting stage left. He runs out the back and runs straight into the Doom Patrol, the rest of the members of the Doom Patrol, who are waiting for him in the alley. So there's Val and Cliff and Irani and Joshua. And they explain that the police have told them everything. And he says, well, it's just a stupid mistake. And, I've helped you guys out. And now you're betraying me. Why don't you just leave me alone? While they're trying to talk to him, he runs out. And because he has these powers that disrupt people, they can't catch him. So, he triggers this thing. So if someone aims at him, they miss. And, so the team immediately start trying to grab him and end up hurting each other. And then Joshua's powers go up and he blows up the exit of the building. And, Wayne walks out while everyone else is pulling themselves out of the rubble. So, yes, back in New York, Pythia is still fighting Power Girl. And she's getting more and more monstrous, and like she's starting to turn green and she's growing fangs and all sorts of things and getting more and more freaky. Power Girl is really getting her butt kicked. Then at the headquarters, the alarm's going off. So not only has Wayne just run out on them and they've all fallen in a heap, now the alarm's gone off and they come around the the front entrance, and there's a whole mess of blue cable tentacles. All they've ensnared someone who's come into the headquarters, and the team want to know who it is. And then Cliff is the first to recognise who it is and says, "It ain't possible." And it's Larry, and he's not wearing any bandages. He's all free of his bandages, and Cliff gives him a great big bear hug. He's so happy to see him, you know, back in normal form after so long. And he starts to, you know, say, "Oh, it's a long, weird story how I got this way." And basically, and then we realize that Val is hanging back and she is looking pretty dark and stormy. And she says, yeah, and she's joined the dots because Larry sicked Reactron on her to siphon off the negative energy so he could have it because he was, you know, decrepit and needing that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And now neither of them have it. So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, in New York, still fighting. And what do I say at this time? Sarah got more and more monstrous. So now she has, like, fangs on her fingers and on her shoulders and on her knees and all sorts of things. And she's getting real green, and her face is just entirely fangs with a flaming hairdo. Yeah.
Pretty scary, yeah.
Yeah, and she basically smashes Power Girl and then takes off. Then at the Team Patrol headquarters, Val has not taken this news well that Larry's responsible for her assault by Reactron. So she kicks him in the face, and then the next time she's punching him in the face, and then she smashes him through a door.
Mm-hmm.
She's demanding explanations. Larry said, "You know, I just wanted the power. I know I did what I did was wrong." And the rest of the team pick him up, and they're holding Val back. He said, "I'm sorry, you know, what do you want from me?" And she looks down and quietly for a second, and then she says, "Vincent," and kicks him in the face and sends him flying out of the arms of Rhea and Scott. And he's unconscious on the ground. And then Josh is the team medic. He's torn because Trina's hurt, but he has feelings for Val. He has to decide, chooses to go and comfort Val, even though Larry is now unconscious on the ground.
Yep. Not great the best team medic there. Great.
Then later we see Larry inside, and he's got bandages on his face, but this time they're not to cover up radiation. They're because his face has been smashed by. So he's got lots and lots of bandages on his forehead and nose and jaw and lips. And, yeah, so not doing very well. And then Rhea decides to sunbathe.
As you do.
We see Rhea flying up to the roof of the building in a bikini. We get a, I would describe this as a gratuitous butt shot.
Yes. Yes, it is.
As she bends over to lay out her towel, and she spreads the towel out. She's lying on the roof of the building in her bikini, very skimpy, sort of bit of a G-string thing going. Anyway, and she's lying there. She rolls over so we can see her butt again. She's doing some yawning. We can see her boobs quite well in the bikini. When suddenly there's a great big smash in front of her, which falls through the roof. She looks through the hole, and on the ground is Power Girl, beaten and bleeding and collapsed in the middle of the Doom Patrol headquarters.
Oi.
Mmm. Boobs and butts. How was it for you?
It was a fairly chaotic story. Yeah, we have Larry come back, but then we lose Karma, which not that great a loss really, because he wasn't the most likable character. Power Girl's scenes is basically her getting beaten up, and then we have the two, you know, former bearers of the negative spirit. One of them beating the crap out of the other. So it's
quite a beatdown. It's just—it's really, really full on that beatdown. Yeah,
and there's like one panel that shows Larry's face, sort of right towards just before he gets knocked out cold. And yeah, he's not looking good. He's looking quite damaged. So yeah, but yeah, as you said, some gratuitous boobs and butt shots in that issue. was yeah. What do you think of it?
It's a. I like the energy of the issue. Like, it really is like Power Girl is getting an absolute beatdown at the same time, and then Larry gets the crap beaten out of him by Val. Like, the, if you had to make a fight between two characters in a team, I think this is about as violent as you can imagine. Yeah. Yeah. And then at the same time, you've got, you know, this soapy stuff with Rhea pining for Joshua, who's pining for Val. Who,
yeah.
You know, and Val has always been, you know, my problems are my own, leave me alone, you know, since she got the bandages in Doom Patrol history. I don't think she's ever been particularly useful to Joshua or, you know, reciprocal in her affection.
Not really, no.
Yeah. and then we just get this sunbathing scene.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, we've had this, here's the calm after the storm sort of thing. How can we, you know, make things less tense than they've just been in the previous 20-odd pages? Oh, look, a young girl in a bikini. Of course.
Yeah. And I'm saddened for the loss of Wayne, because I really feel like Wayne's story was only ever half told in this series.
Mm.
Like, I think it was meant to go a lot further than it did, and it sort of just gets ended because, you know, we're 5 issues away from Kupperberg leaving the book and Grant Morrison taking over.
Yeah.
And he didn't want Wayne Hawkins on the team. He wanted to bring in Crazy Jane and use Negative Man and Cliff and Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to spoil things, but, you know, Niles is going to come back because we've seen Niles in the background in the previous issue. So.
Yeah, and in this next issue coming up as well. So, yeah, it's, as you say, could have been more done with Wayne. And as wacky as Morrison gets, you know, just imagine what he could have done with Karma if he'd kept him around, you know. That would have been interesting, but we'll never know.
Yeah. So we had a bit of bad Karma, really. We never got the good Karma.
I do like, though, that they did follow up on that storyline from issue 4 when, yeah, Wayne did have, you know, the accidental death of the guard in the shopping mall, and that's basically how they met him as well. So it was nice to see that followed up on, if not really given any closure. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the way, I mean, Power Girl is drawn, she's voluptuous, but she's not, like, she looks like a powerful, strong woman. You can see the muscles in her legs and her arms, you know, all that sort of, you know, she looks very physically strong and, you know, like an athlete's body.
I will say that the first page you see Pythia, you know, in full. The minute I saw that, I thought, that's just such an Eric Larson figure right there. Just the way she's holding herself and the grimace on her face and the outlandish costume with this giant cape that comes around the front and up the back and behind her. I just thought, wow, that reminds me of stuff you see in his Savage Dragon stuff years later. So, yeah, it was an interesting character design there. I can't even think if she's appeared anywhere else.
I can't recall if she has.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things is she is a Lord of Chaos, I believe. So,
yes.
You know, at this stage, DC Comics was just crazy with, you know, order and chaos and, you know, the things that, you know, chaos trying to, like, Dr. Fate is an agent of order. So,
yes.
And, Amethyst and Gemworld were connected to order, and you also had you know, Lords of Chaos like Floor and Child, and yeah, anyway, it's a whole ongoing war in the magical realms, and it was, yeah, it filtered into a lot of comics at the time,
which is what surprised me about Power Girl, because as we sort of learn a bit more in the next issue, she's acting on behalf of, you know, the gods of order and that, and I always thought she was more just a straight up, you know, superhero sort of thing, and not really involved in the magical side of things like Dr. Fate is. I found that interesting, and I don't, because, well, I've never really read Power Girl before. So, well,
post-crisis, she was originally Kryptonian, so they had to sort of redefine her as, you know, at one point she has a magical connection to Atlantis, and then she's a, you know, agent of the Lords of Order, and so they sort of did magical, you know, power basis for her at this point. But I mean, it all got sort of revised because it was fairly, it was a bit of a wrong direction to take her. And I think Geoff Johns actually did a fair bit of work to just bring her back as just a powerful person. So,
okay.
Yeah, but bit of a mess, Power Girl. Yeah. But as a character, she recovered a lot better than Hawkman ever did from this sort of mess.
Yeah, poor Hawkman. Anyway, let's move on. And we'll now look at issue number 14. Cover dated November 1988 and going on sale July 26th of that year. Again, for just a dollar for 32 pages. Very nice. Edited again by Robert Greenberger, Paul Kupperberg writing, Eric J. Larson on pencils.
I wouldn't need a Greenberger.
Good to know. Jim Sanders III was on inks, letters by John E. Workman Jr. and Michelle Wolfman was a colorist once again. This issue is titled Order and Doom. So it's kind of, you know, signifying the agent of order and the agents of, well, not Doom, but patrolling of Doom. Anyway, we open up and Power Girl is recuperating. The patrol have bandaged her up, and she's basically telling them, yes, I'm working on behalf of the agents of order, and I've just had the crap beaten out of me in New York City. She's trying to tell her side of the story as to this great cosmic war between order and chaos going on, and who gets bored of the conversation and leaves to go and do some other work but Arani, who's, you know... She's got better things to be doing, such as hacking into government computers to try and find out about Niles Calder. And as she's doing so, she discovers her computer's getting hacked into. And she realizes the only person who could do that would be the person that built her computer and programmed it. And that person was Niles Calder. So
the guy at Radio Shack.
Yeah, Steve at Radio Shack built the computers for... Doom Patrol Volume 2. No, she realizes that, yes, she's really certain that she's come really close to tracking down Niles, who we then see in a cutaway scene. He's in his wheelchair looking disheveled, and he's, you know, thinking about his former life and how badly he treated his former team members. So he's still in that bit of a funk. We cut back to see the team chatting with Power Girl. She's telling them more about the Great Cosmic War, and which is the scenes where I was like, I never knew she was involved in this magical realm stuff. But there you go. She's trying to get the team on side to give her a hand as she recounts the total ass-whooping that Pythia just gave her. And team are all about, yeah, let's do it. Let's join and help you out with this. Even Arani's on board, which is really odd. She's actually smiling in this scene, which was just bizarre. And just as they're about to head out and help her, there's a bright flash, and the kitchen that they're all standing in chatting is suddenly transported into the middle of a farming field. And Pythia, she suddenly launches down from the sky. She's basically like 90% of her body is now all fanged mouths, you know, on her wrists and her fingertips and all over her body, and the flaming hair is now all down her back. And, of course, she attacks the team. And Power Girl, in the distance there's a farmhouse, and we see a shadowy figure watching all this happen from her window. The only real thing we can tell about her is that, yes, it's a girl, and she's wearing pigtails. And she's in like a gingham dress.
We get a butt shot.
Yeah, it's
technically a butt shot.
Okay, yes, technically it's a butt shot. It's nowhere near as gratuitous as the one in the previous issue with Rhea, but I think that might be because this person who has the shot of their butt is a child, Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Anyway, so in the fields, the fight's breaking out. Cliff's charging headlong into the fanged body of Pythia, and he gets knocked straight back. And the young girl, she suddenly comes running out of her house because she's recognized that it's a Doom Patrol. And she's thinking to herself, they're freaks just like me, but, you know, they don't keep themselves hidden. And we realize that this young girl, she has very hairy arms and a rather apish-looking face. I wonder who that could be.
First appearance, folks.
Yes, first appearance. So Pythia is growing even larger and larger and is basically now a wall of mouths and flames. And this is when a really cool effect kicks in the book, where basically you have to turn it on its side in order to keep up with what the team is saying. And they're all freaking out and getting sucked into an alternate dimension, which is essentially Pythia herself. So for the rest of the issue, you're reading it sideways, literally.
Widescreen
format. I think it would have been really cool if they'd taken it that step further and actually had you rotating the book, like one of the Batman issues did in the last year or so with the Court of Owls stuff. Where Batman
last year, 4 years ago, Mike, 4 years ago, issue 5, I think.
Wow.
Scott Snyder's and Greg Capullo as Batman.
I was testing you, and you've passed with flying colors. Yes, if they'd done that effect, it would have been even more disorienting than just rotating it to widescreen vision. Wow, 4 years, really?
Yeah, well, yep.
Yeah.
Heading on 5. Yeah,
jeez. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to the Doom Patrol. All hell's breaking loose. We've now got winged demons flying down to the team and, you know, attacking them with these giant mallets and stuff. And the team are not doing very well. Cliff's kind of set on fire. Everyone's getting knocked around. It's basically a rehash of Pythia's ass-whooping of Power Girl in the previous issue, just on a larger scale this time. A giant mouth chomps down and basically tears Joshua in half, which, you know, no surprise, both Rhea and Val both scream out in horror as to that happening. Rhea launches herself at this giant mouth, but she gets blasted and starts becoming quite deformed. She's like this weird, bloated...
Still in a bikini.
That's the thing. Rhea is in her bikini still from the end of last issue all the way through, you know, chatting with Power Girl and the team in the kitchen and all the way through this fight against interdimensional demons and stuff. Still in a bikini. So, yeah. But yeah, she suddenly becomes this large mutated figure and kind of bursts into flame. Cliff, everyone get your drink ready, is coming to the aid of Hot Hands, but a demon swoops down and literally scrunches his head in on itself with a mighty crunch. So you can take a drink now. The energy being comes out of Val, but doesn't do anything because she gets stabbed with a spear through the chest. They suddenly realize they're going to lose. And the young girl that actually has been sucked into the Pythia dimension with them, she starts freaking out. And she starts throwing rocks at the giant jagged mouths of Pythia. And oddly enough, these white rocks that she's throwing actually start to damage Pythia. Which is a bit odd.
Pythia.
Pythia, sorry.
Pythia.
Pythia, yes, okay. So the white rocks that this young girl is throwing are part of Pythia's dimension, but actually hurt Pythia somehow. So once she realizes... Paramecium. Oh, comic book science, of course. Okay. So as Pythia, or Pythia, whoever, is distracted, the rest of the team suddenly are reformed and back to normal. So it's not quite clear whether it was all just an illusion or what. But they start pelting the white rocks as well. And it's through the power of pelting white rocks at Pythia that she's defeated. And suddenly they're all back in the shreds that remain of the kitchen in the middle of the field. And they're all back to normal. And they've defeated the demon Pythia. And everyone cheers. And they meet the new friend they've made, the young girl with the ape face, and she introduces herself as Dorothy Spinner. It's like, yes, first appearance. Yeah, and that's pretty much where it ends.
Dorothy gets a half embrace from Lodestone.
Yeah, She says, yeah, thanks. They make her an honorary member of the Doom Patrol. They're all like, yay, hooray.
Hey.
And then the issue ends with Cliff asking Power Girl for a favor. And she says, sure, Cliff, I'll help carry the kitchen back. And that's pretty much it. What did you think of that issue?
It's a visual roller coaster, really. I mean, yeah, the team go through different dimensions and they all die. We get to see the entire team get killed.
Mm, yeah. And in fairly gruesome manners as well. It's a bit full on. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the solution to the problem is just to chuck white rocks at the demons. Pataya.
Yeah, because they realize that Pataya, Pathia, Gar, Logan, Beast, sorry. They realize that she's become the dimension that they're in. So it's a bit weird that the white rocks that Dorothy starts pelting at the walls are part of Pythia as well. So that struck me as a bit odd. But as you said, comic book science.
She's a fully dimensional character.
Well played, sir. Well played. But yeah, it was really cool to see that this is where they first meet Dorothy as well, who does become even more important to the team once Morrison takes over. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Overall, it was an interesting adventure they had with Power Girl. As you said, it was very chaotic and you know, visually interesting, but it was kind of, there wasn't a lot to it. There was lots of fighting and, you know, references to the great cosmic war between order and chaos, and that was pretty much it.
Mm. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it's lots of fun, and the rotating the comic and having to go sideways for half of it is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun, yeah.
Yeah, so this story ends and we're told that the next issue is the annual, which we've covered previously, which includes the fantastic character Mad Axe, who is he's generally mad and has an axe.
Yes.
His main character trait. Yeah. Anyway, so good middle of the stuff. I don't think it's quite as good as the two-parter we had previously, but, you know, with Reactron. Mm. And Gargurax, but
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, it was an interesting bit of fun. Yeah,
and the team will carry on without Wayne now, without Karma. Anyway, we might move on to the mailbag of doom.
Superman, Blue Beetle, Captain Marvel, Firestorm, The Crimson Avenger, Batman, Halo, Guy Gardner, The Sandman, Shadow Lass, Doll Man, The Star Spangled Kid, The Flash, The Phantom Stranger, Power Girl, Hawkman, Fury, The Challengers of the Unknown, Nightwing, The Whip, Johnny Thunder, The Suicide Squad, Deadman, The Spectre, Warlord, Amazing Man, Our Man, Adam Strange, Dr. Occult, The Doom Patrol, Captain Comet, Creep, Green Lantern, Uncle Sam, The Guardian, Batgirl, Dr. Mid-Jonah Hex, Black Khan, The Manhunter, The Guardians of the Floronic, Blue Devil, Dr. Fate, The Legion of Super, The Secret Origins Podcast, covering every issue of DC's Secret Origins comic from the 1980s. Hosted by Ryan Daly and a multitude of guests from the podcast and blogging community. Secret Origins Podcast. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Last week on the show, we asked everyone to tell us what villain or villains are due for a comeback. So we heard from Coffee and Comics blog, and he said Bolt. Do you know Bolt?
No.
He's a mercenary assassin type guy who has, I think he's the one who teleports.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool dude. Crazy Quilt, who's a guy called Crazy Quilt. Yep. Ten-Eyed Man, he's the guy who had eyes on his fingers.
Oh, yes.
So he's technically the 12-Eyed Man, really. But Manga Khan from the JLI. Do you know Manga Khan?
No.
Oh, okay. He was like a Galactus level threat who was coming to Earth and, you know, sort of giant robotic looking guy. Mm. And turned up, he just wanted to set up a home shopping network on Earth, like a galactic home shopping network.
Right.
And Mr. Nebula, who was, that his, who was Mr. Nebula? I can't remember. Anyway, some they're all fun dude. Characters.
Cool. We heard from Moby One at Shmoby One, and he said he would like to see the Scarlet Skier return to villainous roots and seek out Gnort for an imagined slight. And he gifted us with a 3-panel spread that has Gnort and the Skier sitting on top of a rock near some water. And Gnort asks him, "Do you want to be my sidekick?" And the Skier pushes Gnort off the rock and into the water.
So, now. The Scarlet Skier was the herald of Munga Khan. So.
Right. Okay.
A little bit of a parody of the Silver Surfer.
Right. Got it.
Except he's red and he has skis.
Yes.
Which isn't that funny when you consider that Jack Kirby did the Black Racer as well, who also had skis. Anyway.
Yeah.
Villains with skis. We heard from Endless Mike, who's at MASolco. Have we had any messages from Endless Mike before?
I think this might be a first.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, yes,
welcome Mike.
Yeah, we've got regular Mike and an Endless Mike on the same show. He said, "Terra Man, every universe needs a space cowboy riding a Pegasus."
Oh, wow.
Terra Man is, yeah. Everyone seems to want the goofy villains back. That's
yeah.
what I'm noticing.
Yeah. Super, we heard from
Superman
Ange.
Villain.
We heard from Ange at Dr. Ange 70, and he said, "I think I need some magical big baddies to come back in a new way." And he listed Trigon, Wotan, Mordru, and Dark Opal. I know all of those except for Dark Opal.
Legion of Superheroes, mate.
Right. Okay. That'd be why. Okay.
We heard from Strikers One, and he said, "It's time for the return of Pacepot Pete. Forget that Trapster nonsense. Right. Pacepot Pete. Yes. No.
That's a terrible name." We also heard from Aaron Long at Juice005. And he said, "Not enough Cobra Commander in today's G.I. Joe comics." Now, I'm not reading those comics, so I'm not sure whether Aaron is making a joke or whether he's being sincere, but I think this might be his first non-troll answer.
That could well be the case.
Mm. Well done, Aaron.
Well done. You're growing as a person.
Yes.
You're like the Grinch, something alive inside you. Well done. We heard from Moms Read Comics, who's at Charming Red, and our good friend Jessica said, "Skeletor." Oh, it's been 30 years. Is it Skeletor?
No, Skeletor. No, it's Skeletor. It's definitely Skeletor.
It's bloody Skeletor. Patria. Skeletor. It's been 30 years, still never made another movie, and he said he'd be back.
True. Martin Gray at Mart Gray said he wants to see the sinister, sexy, ward-nobbling midnight minx that is Nocturna and her balloon. I'm not sure what he means by ward-nobbling. That might be a British thing. I'm not sure.
Did you do something to Robin?
I don't know. I've never read anything with Nocturna before. All these old villains coming out in the mentions this week. It's...
No. We need a younger audience, so we have more reason. we heard from Zavisa Patrol, which is the Zavisa. Doug. Hey, Dougie.
Hey, Doug.
Dougster. Dougonator. He said, "Mento." Why not? Why
sure.
not?
Why not?
I'm going to start hassling Gerard Way to put Mento in the Doom Patrol.
Oh, don't you dare. We heard from Ryan Daly at RyanDaly01, and he listed Red Dart, Slingshot, Original Cheetah, and Jim Shooter. And Jim's the only one of those that I know.
Yeah, well, Original Cheetah is a Wonder Woman villain.
Oh, yes,
Red,
yes.
Yeah, Red Dart and Slingshot. Yeah, you got me there, Ryan.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have to do some
I'm older than Ryan, but I know less. Yeah. Anyway, we heard from Rift at Rift 1821.
friend James. Mm-hmm. He said, late answer. Sorry, guys, but Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man for sure, and maybe the Beard Hunter, the weirdest bad guy ever.
Excellent answers.
Excellent answers. Well done, Rift.
What about you, Paul? Which villains would you like to see back?
Well, I'm inspired by all this goofiness, and I'm going to say Mr. Ira Quimby, also known as IQ.
Right.
But I think you could do some fun stuff with him because he's, he's smarter than most people, and he could be a fun villain for some hero.
Mm-hmm.
I think I last saw him in the 52 series as one of the mad scientists on Oolong Island.
Oh, yes.
And I really love that plot and the whole setup of having all these mad scientists together on Oolong Island just going nuts creating things, whether they were useful or practical. But Ira Quimby was one of the smarter ones. So.
Right.
And, he was... He was able to read and play people much better than a lot of the crazy scientists.
Okay. Could.
Hmm.
Cool.
What about you, Mike?
I'm going to go and stick with some classic Doom Patrol stuff, and I'm going to say General Immortus. I would love to see him back, but I'd love to see him sort of reveal that he was the secret mastermind behind things that have happened in the New 52, whether they failed or succeeded. Like... He was the real villain behind the crap fest that was Convergence. just stuff like that.
Right.
Sort of having him, because, he's this evil old immortal dude. So, he wouldn't just be... I mean, last time we saw him, he kind of teamed up with the patrol as their last series was wrapping up. And, he wouldn't just be sitting on his hands doing nothing. He'd be up to stuff. He'd have secret plans and wheels in motion. So, I would love for him to come back and say, yes, I was responsible for that bad storyline in that book over there, that sort of thing, So,
yeah. And what's creepier than an old man, really?
Exactly. It's part of his terror. But yeah, I would love to see General Immortus back and just... giving the patrol what for and giving them headaches and just being the evil old bastard that he is. But yeah.
Nice. I love it. Yes. Awesome. Yeah, well, I think that's probably it for the mailbag of doom. I've looked in the bag. It's empty.
Excellent. Thanks for writing in, guys.
Yeah, thank you. I guess you can get in touch with us. You can talk to Wilfred at WFDpod. You can send us an email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. There's the Facebook page. Drop a message on the Facebook page. You can leave us a review. Some people have left us reviews recently. Perhaps you might like to leave one. I'd be happy to get a negative review. You could spit bile at us and complain. 53 episodes of this crap. What are we thinking? Anyway.
Wow.
Don't forget, it's the Doom Patrol's birthday on Monday, the 18th of April. So send us a pic of you celebrating with something Doom Patrol-y. Dress up as Dorothy Spinner.
If you've got a bikini challenge. Give me an idea.
If you own a bikini, dress up as Rhea.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, surprise us, Aaron.
Don't forget the hashtag Happy Birthday Doom Patrol as well, so we can all enjoy it and spread the love. Yes.
Awesome. Anyway, so next week on the show, we're going to look at further on in Volume 2, which is the Grant Morrison stuff. We're just going to do a single issue just to make it easy on ourselves. We're going to do Issue 46. Mm-hmm. And our question of the week is, what's your favorite celebration in comics? So, a celebration issue. Did someone in a comic have a party or a get-together or... all that sort of stuff.
Or a birthday or...
A birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all about the birthday and the partying next week.
Did anyone win the lotto? No, I don't. So, you guys know your comics, so you surprise us. It's your job.
That's right.
We're not going to do it for you.
No.
Otherwise, we'd be asking ourselves the question of the week. More than, Okay. But I need to detach from this conversation at this point.
We'll sign off for now, guys. Thanks very much for listening again, and we'll catch you next week for more Waiting for Doom.
Bye-bye.